to go pick him up.
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to see him today. You're welcome to come today to the event. It's 9 o'clock.
The event still?
Yeah. I'll get you in.
I don't want to go to Tel Aviv, really.
I'm going to go there first to the pier to have like a date day kind of thing with my wife.
Oh, that's gewalt.
And just, you know, get like a bite to eat over there and just nice look at the sunset with the waves and everything. And then when that's finished, head over to Allenby 22, which is where the Shear is. Allenby. And Arafat's day for the whole thing, but at least
what type of chever comes to that?
It's more of a Kiruv like organization, but he's going to do it. He's already sent me.
He speaks Ivrit now.
No, he sent me a printout like of the mind of consciousness. Like he has this whole map, a map of consciousness, which someone produced for him a while back, and he puts it together with some appendix, and he has a whole like you know course about how to understand the consciousness. That's one of his big strengths. Like Shlomo was saying when we talked about him, one of the things he gets a lot of inspiration from Gedalia is this universal way of talking about consciousness. It's a very like needed. How many people talk about it? You know.
What do you mean by that?
Consciousness means like understanding strategies of how to work with yourself.
Ah, yeah.
He's very strong in that.
Yeah, he's so, definitely very strong with that. It's very.
And in terms of what we've been learning in Tanya, it connects well because the idea of pushing yourself a little bit, I mean not a little bit, a lot actually, to be an Ovid Elohim. And when I saw him on Erev Shabbos, like I felt as. Like energy, like with him, is he's in a Miami style way pushing himself.
Yeah,
you know? Like it's got that swag, and it's not like you know, it's not like tense like some Haredi guy from Yisharim. It's so you can relate to it or look up to it in a more like beautiful way. We're like in this nice house, overlooking the hills of a frat. And he spoke about Shalom Bias, and everyone could just communicate. It was more intimate. It wasn't like you know, Shia
right,
style.
Right.
Everyone had different things to say, and it was good to hear from the women. You know, like
some of your questions were pretty solid.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good session.
Baruch Hashem.
So, yes, so the idea is pushing yourself, but in a way that is healthy.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people pushing, forcing themselves to do all kinds of things, but they end up burnout. Whereas this way, you don't burn out because it becomes a kinyan, it becomes part of you. Like he says, L'chein zos apam. That extra one is connected everything.
Right.
All the 100 before it. So when you get to the 101, once again, that famous number, 101, you get to that level of 101, it's connected everything you did before. It's equal to all the effort you made before.
Right.
So the idea is that extra push, that extra mile, that extra kinyan of Torah, that extra b'shviras amidus or building tikkun amidus, whichever way you go, you know, like breaking amidus, fixing amidus, all these things lead us to real growth and a real Beinoni who's Ovid Hashem.
Right.
The kind of Beinoni we want to be. Ola al gabein b'yosa seis v'esa uz. In fact, his quantity surpasses them in greater strength and power. There's only this one extra vision which entitles a student to what? Yos nikra Ovid Elohim. Then he gets called the level of so him who serves Hashem. What does he translate here in the him who serves Hashem?
We're not up to 16. We're up
to... We're just finishing off 15.
Okay.
It's a little bit. Yeah, this.
L'chein.
Yeah, that's what I just read.
L'chein zos hapam ameya.
Yeah, these are the kind of things we need to review again and again because.
Ameya v'achas.
We sometimes feel like we're just endlessly pushing. It's not like that. There's a lot, we have a lot of kinyan just by being a yid. It's a gift of, I was saying, I put out a share on YouTube about the nations and how they support Israel. And then we went into a little bit of some of how they dislike us also, yeah?
Right.
And obviously there's been a lot of support from a lot of people visiting, like Chadash and Mev, what's his name, Floyd Mev, where all these guys, yeah, Rappaport, all these people come. You know, Jews as well, Matisyahu, all these people have come.
Right.
Jerry Seinfeld, all these dudes have come and have shown their support. And then there's a whole world that hates us.
Right.
And I put up this video, like I made a shorter version of it, and it's like up to 1,000 views in like a day or something, which is like a lot for me because I'm not like, you know, a big guy and I don't like promote my, I don't put any money behind it. So it's just natural organic stuff. But a lot of us hate comments, like about 20 plus hate comments on the video now.
Wow.
Like, like, which is good, means that people are watching it. But the problem is people are not, they're not open to the message. The message right. was.
A lot of people are like bots and stuff like that. Like could be. China or so, Russia.
Yeah, it could be. God knows what. Yeah, it could be. So, but there's a lot of push. And this is how the Jewish people are, that we're naturally kind. Like we, it says, we're rachmanim, bashanim. We have all these different levels of, you know, of
right.
of being kind and having mercy and being able to have shame. And that's the inheritance from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, the Avos and the Steres that we've been talking about here. So when Am Yisrael push themselves to go out of their way to be kind beyond them, beyond the normal level, that's us, that extra one. That's once again in kindness as well. As also that, like I'm sure you've had situations where you really were uncomfortable at doing a chesed. You had to be mevata on something. But, you know, we get these things in business and stuff. But you yeah. knew that it would be the right, it would be the higher path, the higher lane, the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And that extra thing is the nekuda when you become a lios nikra over the lakim. So the same with that. So even if the world's hating on you, you should still say the truth. Like it might not be popular to say that we're the chosen people and we have a Torah's MS. Might not be popular. It's not PC, apparently, but who cares? It's the MS, you right. know? So yeah, I miss have to be able to be strong and push themselves the extra little bit, and it makes a big difference. Penesha kadei l'shanas teva regilis. In order to change, excuse me, his habitual nature, he must what? Sarach lo oyvetz ha'ava la'ashem ayidei shemizbonin galas shem mocha. Now this is a Chabad way. How do you do it? Through misbonin on Hashem. Right. His greatness. Would you say there's other ways? Yeah. I mean, you were just going to go to some Morgenstern last night. You're going to be with Gedalia. Obviously, there's other ways. There's Kabbalah, according to Morgenstern. There's Hespodotus, according to Rabbi Nachman. There's all different ways, yeah?
Yeah.
Of how you can come more motivated, as Rav Cook's Derek of Yishev Eretz as well. You know, everyone has a different way of, like, mm-hmm. pushing yourself to do something beyond yourself.
Yeah, which one of us, I want to read or learn which one of our cooks one talks specifically about Eretz Yisrael.
Oiris, I think, is very strong.
Yeah?
That was a book I learned about Eretz Yisrael. I mean, Rav Weinberg would know better than anyone. I mean, he's...
Yeah, but he's not... I don't like bothering him with these questions. It's like, you know, he's like... I speak to him whenever I have, like, life decisions, issues.
So, yeah, I mean, I would go onto his catalogue and just look at all the different shurim he's done.
Right.
And I think the Oiris is a big one. Or you can look
he's
at
Rishon. He's doing one now. Shama. He's in the middle of giving you one on Rav Cook as well.
Yeah, Oiris. That was the first book I bought in English from Rav Cook.
Yeah.
And it was all, it's, you know, the Oiris HaTshuva and Oiris HaYisrael. There's so much writings. I mean, he's a whole world.
I can't
world.
Do the Hebrew ones. They're like
no, English. I need translation. Hebrew. There was just a shiur from Gedalia that he just put up Erev Shabbos. It might be interesting to you if you're talking about Rav Cook. It was all about Rav Cook's Svarim.
Oh, yeah, he learns Rav Cook's Svarim?
Yeah, he was with this rabbi, Asher, something or other, Zevig Schwartz or something, some new guy that I haven't really heard about. But they were learning, here, I just finished mine, open up on my phone, there it is. The Spiritual Women of Rav Cook with Rabbi Ari Zev Schwartz. So apparently he's just put out a new book called The Spiritual Wisdom of Rev Cook. He's putting out a second one apparently already.
Who is?
This Ari Zev Schwartz.
Interesting.
And that's who Gedalia was speaking to.
Oh, you listened to my friend?
What, Yaakov Langer? Yeah, of course.
No, a meaningful podcast.
I listened to those dudes also, yeah.
They mentioned me the other day, you know that?
Oh, really? Did they?
Yeah, a couple in
which one?
See, this is he's my best friend.
Oh, really? He's good.
My mom
is Tam Chochem. He's like brings a lot of Torah to that podcast. He knows Torah.
And on this one, both of these.
Oh yeah, that makes sense because Avshi's you're connected with Avshi.
Yeah, I connected him with Rav Avshi.
Oh nice. And your real secret to victory in Gaza.
That's with a different guy, Noam.
You connected that as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh nice. Yeah, no, he's good. What's his name?
Bauman, yeah.
Momo Bauman. He's a Tam Chochem, right? He says Torah.
Mm-hmm.
He's added a good element to that whole thing.
Yeah, he's a very deep neshama.
Yeah, and I like the fact that he's not a social media kind of guy. He's not an influencer. He just is a yid.
It's right, good. He doesn't.
It's refreshing. He's not interested in that whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a schmuck, you know, and that brings a certain authentic vibe because there's a lot of, like, you know, people trying to, like, whatever. Anyway, the point is that we need to push forward in everything. And that, so also we're learning Torah of Cook. I mean, every way that you try, but in the end, we're learning Tanya right now, and what is the Nakuda is this Bonin of the Galus Hashem. That's the Nakuda. you know, I'd say living in a frat for like a lot of people, how would be pushing themselves to go to the shirim, to do chesed in the community, you know, you don't always feel like it, to go, you know, to go to the events. It's a push sometimes. There's quite a lot going on in the calendar, and you have to push yourself to be involved. And it's for the sake of a larger picture, that it's not just about you and your journey in Israel. You're part of a community, and also to, like you've done with the meaningful people, to connect people up, because you're here in Eretz Yisrael and you have an extra schus to be able to connect people to people they wouldn't know about, you know. Anyway, the Lashana Sotah Regila Sark La Eretz Ahava La Hashem Aide Misbonin Begadat Hashem B'Mocho The Sholet Ala Teva Shebechal Asmuni Hamalei Dam and Nefesh Shebehemish Shebeklipa. So what's the reason? Why are you pushing yourself? Why are you bespoiling on Hashem? In order to master the nature that's the left part of the heart, the nefesh Bahamis, which is there, is Shola in the left part of the heart, and that's the part originating in Klipa, Shemenuhu Ateva, and the power of his love enables him to transcend his nature. You see, this is Wilson's whole Parsha Shemini, going beyond yourself. Zehi Avoda Tama Lebenani. This is to overpower himself for the love of Hashem, through meditation, which is once again the Chabad Derech, is a simple service for a Beinoni, a perfect service, excuse me. He doesn't say simple. It's interesting because Tama, it's simple, but it's also perfect. It's interesting. But that's the way the Beinoni is going to overcome his Yetzirah, through Mitzbonin on the Galus Hashem. So according to Chabadnik, the real way, the real key. Now, there's a slight problem in our generation. We don't have the Koach HaMoach as much as previous generations. And that Chabad would agree. Because what do you see Chabad doing mostly nowadays? You see them be misbonin.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into a Chabad shul and they're all sitting there misbonin the Galus Hashem.
No.
What are they doing? They're doing
mitzvahs.
Shlichus. Misayim. That was the update from the Babish Rebbe, the sixth and seventh Rebbes, I would say even the sixth as well. There was a certain push towards more Olam HaMasa, like doing things, changing the world, elevating the world through Maasim, Tovim, through Torah mitzvahs, through getting everyone else involved, Misayim, the whole thing. So there was a certain switcheroo. And either way, by connecting to the Shlichus of the Rebbe, you're still connected to Avos Hashem and Galus Hashem. You're just doing it through the Shlichus rather than through the sitting there and being misbonin. It's because now you're the Shlich of the Rebbe, so now you've become sort of bottled to the Rebbe's great madrigas of his boniness.
Right. It seems like that's what the next parak is going to be about.
I think so. Or the Oira Esahava Mysterious Belibo. The other thing, another way of serving Hashem as a Beinoni, is to arouse the we mentioned this before, the hidden parts of love in his heart, which we said is a Rusha from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We all have it. Lamosha or Yida or Ateva Machala Smuli, thereby to control the nature that is the left part of the heart. As Nick Hugam Kane Avoda, this is all called serving Hashem. How are you going to arouse those hidden loves? So I think that fits now more. The second part fits more the in a more straight way of how to awaken the Avos Nisteres is by Mitzayim. That would be the more up-to-date version. Because why are all these Chabanics so able? It's not easy every day to wake up with a Shlichus every day. Not to have a Chofish, be like the Rebbe. The Rebbe never went on Chofish. He was all the time, 24/7, serving Hashem and bringing Kaiser closer. There was no like sitting in the Bahamas or something, sitting in a jacuzzi. It never happened. So What's the story? So a lot of Chabadniks have to live this way. They have their Chabad house. They can't. There's no rest because they've got this house with people coming all the time, the whole year round.
Yeah.
So they've got to just keep going and going. Maybe for them the rest is when they go to like the Kinnas of Shluchim. That's for them. And even that's probably like the biggest networking event for them.
I don't know how they don't burn out.
Yeah. So one of the ways is because they're tapping into this Avos Nisteres. Unless they're tzaddikim, but they're tapping into the Avos Nisteres. It constantly overcomes Nefesh Bahamas through constantly doing Ma'asim Tovim by being regil in their habits tuned to Chesed and Avoda and Torah. They're constantly tuned to these holy parts of themselves, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and that constantly gives the power to be sholet on the left part of the heart. Shazen Nekhu Gamkeinavai, and that's also called imperfect. It's Avoda, but it's an imperfect Avoda. It's a wage war against nature and collision by rousing the love hidden in the heart. So that would be not the highest level. Because we said before, remember we had the Litvak kind of guy? It's not nice to call him that, but the Masmid. Yeah, let's rather call him Masmid. And his Teva was that his natural Avos Nisteres is that he just loves learning Torah. So he just learns all day. So he doesn't do avodas. So that's another level of a Beinoni. But the problem is that, once again, that's not real avoda.
Right.
That, because it's not where he's in a, I suppose the difference is between, I don't know if this is correct, but Asay Tov and Sumira. What does he say over there? Because I would say the Asay Tov is more this boning on the greatness of Hashem,
right,
in this inner sense. And the Sumira is awakening the inheritance from Avraham Yitzchak, the dormant love.
That's what he calls it.
But it's awakening. It's not like you're doing, it's not proactive. It's more like, it's just being samach on your yichas kind of thing, on your inheritance.
Right. Above, we argued that an awakening of souls, dormant love, does not count as service because it was not brought about by him.
Yeah.
It's an inheritance. Rather, it's a spiritual inheritance.
It's like living off your daddy's credit card. You didn't work for it.
Sup, dog.
You've got the card. And it means
Papa's got the PhD, no, they call it.
You didn't go to a Latin party. You went to Beis Midrash and learn with the credit card. So that's good. But you didn't schwitz for it. Yeah?
Right, it's
It was your dad was like very happy for you to do that, 100%. And then take you out for dinner that night. You know,
right,
that you did well in your sugya of learning that day,
right?
And everyone gave you covered and all that. So there was a lot of like motivations outside of the inner struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's more external way of talking about it, but the point is the internal thing is that you have this inheritance and you're working from that. You're not generating your new kind of. I think that's the Likud. It's not like self. You're not a self-made man. It's like it's coming from the past.
Right.
And I think our generation, especially now with Rosh Chodesh Nis and everything and the way the world is, we have to be mechadish, we have to renew ourselves. We have to be honest that we constantly have to renew ourselves and constantly remake ourselves. That's the chiddush that Shlomo Katz was saying about Gedalia, just come back to Gedalia, that he's such a chiddush because he's someone who could not be like that. He didn't inherit this whole like Yiddishkeit thing. He had to work hard for it. I would say about myself as well, but it would be not really right for me to talk about myself in that way. But I had to really work hard for it. Like, I have a lot of family who think I'm, still to this day, think I'm nuts. They're like, just go work for your family, go work in the business. What are you doing? You're suffering in Israel, yeah? That's how they view it.
Mm-hmm.
They always see us at wars. They see, you know, my own son's now on the battlefields out there on the border. Like, he spent his whole Shabbos holding a machine gun, literally non-stop, just being on Shmira for hours while we're like having a nice Shabbos.
Oh, he's not in the. They took him out from the insides now.
Well, he's not in Azza because he did his mission there in Khan Yunis and all that. There's other people for Rafah, and that, even that's complicated. Exactly what's
for
going
Rafa.
On. Rafa. There's complicated what's going on over there.
Just drop a bomb. But Rafa.
But like, if you go, I'll show you. Look, this is what he did all Shabbos. He was sitting there with a big machine gun, looking at a tower.
Oh my goodness.
And that was the Shabbos. Where was it? Along the border there. See the gate there? And he was driving along. There was videos of him driving along, getting ready to go do it. And that was what he was doing for Shabbos. Literally just standing there, giant gun, and just guarding, basically, us.
Wow.
So then no one comes in and starts making trouble.
It's crazy.
Like what happened October 7th shouldn't happen again. We need to have people standing.
That was crazy.
So you can't rely on electronics. You have to have people actually guarding. And that's where we're at right now. So, you know, that is hard work. And that sometimes people think it's crazy what you've done. Like, why just come back to London, live a night, you know, get a job, get a good lifestyle over there. It's an assignment. So everyone in their own way is pushing themselves and going beyond themselves and constantly self-making themselves. Whereas a lot of people have a lifestyle given to them. And that's still something. They're still serving Hashem from people. But they're not, it's not a voda. That, I think that's it's hard. It's quite subtle. I think this Nakuda, because it's not just the Masmid. It's all kinds of people. It's the Masmid was an example. There's all kinds of people that are chapping into their Avos Nisteris, their inheritance that they got from their family. What is the nature income by arousing the hidden love? So that much they're doing. If however he wages no war at all. Yeah, what's the guy who doesn't have to wage any war? Ain Abazum Asad Atzma Nikwas Avodas HaKlal. This love can no way be credited to his service. He's ever called him who serves him not. So when he's no Mohammed Hashem, and he's just naturally in love with Hashem because that was how he's brought up. He was sitting in yeshiva and his whole life has just been learning. So that guy, and he never really pushed himself, that's not Avoda at all.
Right.
Look, it must be there was some, like Messias back in the time of the Balatania where this was very common. Because otherwise he'd have brought it up. remember, this is a book to give us advice. So
right, exactly.
There must have been a generation where there were people who were just sort of used to sitting and learning, and it wasn't...
It was like spiritual bypassing.
Yeah. But it's still a level. They're still called a Bainani.
Right.
But the real Bainani who serves Hashem is someone who engages in the struggle with inclination. And that
seems
is
like he's also addressing a lot of the misnagdus as well.
Yeah.
And he's taking like kind of like a hit against the misnagdim, who are not a hit really, but he's just trying to say like, you guys are, which is unfortunately the MS, you know, is that like you guys, there are some of them that are just very, that just, you know, just you miss the part.
Yeah, so look, that
you miss the part. There, I remember,
there is a lot of things being filled in though nowadays.
When I was a bachur in yeshiva, so I went to high school in Far Rockaway, and then I went to Beis Medrash in Far Rockaway.
Yeah,
and it was like the tract was like most of the guys went from there. They went to like the Mir Yeshiva. Some guys went to Brisk. Like a couple of guys went to Brisk, like to the top, you know, the Brisk level schools.
Wow.
And so.
Yeah, Brisk was always like considered like a high level.
Brisk kind of was thing. Like Harvard, like Ivy yeah. League is like Brisk, and then there's like other ones. Like, you know, there's like there's Brisk, and then there's a bunch of other, you know, ones like them. Anyways, so I still remember this. I was telling this to someone the other day. Actually, it was the first time it came up. Where so the main the Magid Shir of the Beis Medrash, his name is Moshe Brown. He's like a Ner Yisrael. He's a Rush. He makes a real siyum. Like he knows
Shas.
He knows Shas like cold. Like when I say cold, like he there are times where he's left our yeshiva and walked the wrong direction.
Okay, yeah,
because he's like just thinking in Torah all day. His whole mind, everything's thinking in Torah. Like one time, guys came over to them and asked him a question. Like, you know, you're allowed to like shave before Lag BaOmer if it comes out on Friday, like Rosh Chodesh. I don't know. There's like all this in Yanim. And so they're like, oh, you're allowed to shave on Friday, like Kavod Shabbos. Can you listen to music? And his response was like, you're never allowed to listen to music. Like, what do you, what's
like that? Old school.
Like old school, like very like just.
Based on Svarim.
Like Svarim. Like he mamish.
No, Messias, Svarim.
Like just, anyways, I remember. But again, everything's Torah. He's just a walking Sefer Torah. Like, and so one day he called us all, like the whole yeshiva, like maybe 100, 150, this is the Beis Medrash, like 100 guys maybe into the whatever, the lunchroom. And he never does this. And he's like telling us, he's like, I have a bachar of mine that went to one of these high level yeshivas here in Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. And he called me up and he said, Rebbe, do you think I should go to the Levaya for the bachar that were killed in Merkaz Arav? Oh. And he was like, and his answer was like, Avada, like what type of question? What do you mean? Oh, sure. And he was like, well, because the yeshiva I'm in, they said I shouldn't go. It's Bittul Torah and the Mizrahi. And he, for like 40 minutes.
Good.
Just, it's etched into my soul. That one, there's like very, no shiurim I remember on anything. Like, you know, Ger Katan and all these other sugyas I was learning. I don't remember anything. That one shiur, it was etched into like my neshama. He was like, for 40 minutes, he was crying. He was like screaming. He was angry. He was like, this is not the Torah. He's like, if this is the Torah, like this is not Torah. He's like, these kids, their Gemaras are covered in blood.
Wow.
He's like the same Gemara. Why am I saying this? Is that like, you know, there was a certain like, you know, like, you know, it's I don't know what it's like today, but I remember when I was.
The Torah changes
when
you.
When I was 20
if
years old.
If it's real Torah, it will change you. It will bring you true sensitivity.
Old, it was like.
Beyond all the boxes and the labels.
Like I had friends who went to like Brisk and all these yeshivas, and these kids were like, you know, they were like Eved Hashems. They were not Oyvde Hashem. Yeah. They knew how to learn. Like they were the best. They were the top of the top. Like these kids were.
But they were somewhat like, given to them on some level.
They were brilliant. Usually the kids were brilliant.
You they know, had a good mind.
They had good minds, you know.
And everything was set up.
Yeah. If you have a good, if you're in the yeshiva system and you're of a good mind, you're, you know, you'll get the best chavrusa just because like you're brilliant.
Sure.
But like you're just smart. You're sharp. You're like you're rich. Like, you know, there's always like those in Yanim. Like if you're, you know, if you're like...
Well, the town is trying to get us to a more panemious place, but it's an inner struggle.
Yeah,
it's like that was really this struggle. Whole time, the last four or five chapters was about the inner struggle.
Yeah.
And where we're at right now is talking about the transition called the long game.
Now he has 16
is a long game. And I, you mentioned before we started learning about the importance of Rabbeinu Tam, yeah?
Ah, yeah.
So I want to just bring it up before we start learning the 16th Perek. The idea that we have a long game in Yiddishkeit as well, and one of the ways we mentioned before is this concept of Ibu Neshama, of connection to Tzaddikim. So a level beyond ourselves. So in my opinion, Rabbeinu Tam is that kind of connection.
Right.
Because it's the filling more of the Tzaddikim, of Tzaddik Emes. Right. Meaning, not the Rashi is Chas Shalom, not a Tzaddik, but the Rashi's filling is for everyone. And the, what Rabbeinu Tam is push you, is Makasha you to the Tzaddikim Emes.
Which Tzaddikim Emes? All of them?
Or the Panemius, whatever that means, in the Panemius level.
Like what's the connection between Rabbeinu Tam and them?
Yeah. So one way is to look at the way the organization of the Parshas is. So according to Rashi, it's Yudkei Vavkei, like this month coming up, Chodesh Nissan, is the Sirif Shem Avaya, it's Yismuchu HaShemayim V'Segel HaAretz, that it should be in order, Yudkei Vavkei, Yismuchu HaShemayim V'Segel HaAretz. How do we see that? Kadesh Kaviyecha Shema V'Yim Shema. That's Yudkei Vavkei, according to the Seder of the Parshas. Yeah? Kadesh Kaviyecha Shema V'Yim Shema. What's Rabbeinu Tam? Where's it switch? So they say that's Chodesh Iyar. Chodesh Iyar is Yud Kei Hei Vav. What's Hei Vav? What switches? So the Kadesh Kaviyecha, which from Parshas Bo stays the same order. What switches in the Rabbeinu Tam? It switches the Vayim Shema becomes before Shema. So the old Malka Shemaim becomes before the Shema, the Yichud. So the concept is that you are connecting yourself to a higher level of taking on all the Ola mitzvahs before the Ola Malka Shema. You don't need the Ola Malka Shema to do the Ola mitzvahs. You have the mitzvahs already. You're a tzaddik. You're already into the tzaddik level, which is straight to the mitzvahs. You don't need to do Ola Malka Shema. And the concept is, it says it's connected Chodesh Iyar, which is like, we know, like Ba'omer and Reb Shimon and Pesach Sheni. There's a lot of awe of the Tzaddikim in that Chodesh.
Right. We were learning about the Chodesh Iyar also.
Yeah. So Chodesh, yeah.
There are people who don't write it in the Ksuba.
Yeah.
They have an Indian that
Ani Hashem Refecha.
Hashem, yeah.
And the idea is that we learn in Tikkun Medina, we learn in it about Chodesh Iyar Dafka. It's a Chodesh of awe, of light.
Right.
And it hasn't been it. The Rabbeinu Tam is this connection to, the B'nai Soska talks about this, the idea you can mekash yourself to the Tzaddik, and Rabbi Nachman Sfarim talk about it also, Rabbeinu Tam. So it's like, it brought in halacha that only Bali Nefesh should wear it, and Yerushalmayim, and etc. But now the Chassidish, what Chassidim did, they made it something for all of the Chassidim to mekash themselves to the Tzaddik. It's like, through the Tzaddik we can wear them. So the idea is that it gives you a certain higher level connection to a Tzaddik. And that is worth everything, because especially in our generation. So I started wearing Rabbeinu Tam after a few years of being married. I asked the Tzaddik and they said, yeah, could I? I didn't have much money, but I managed to still get a very good quality pair. And I still have them now, thank God. And I remember my first time I ever put them on, which was Chodesh Iyar, like in Kollel. It was like, it worked out. I got them just in time for that.
Wow.
So I was very like inspired that it was like Hashem was saying, like, good on you, you know, you got them. So Rabbeinu Tam is also, he's a Hemshich from Rashi. I think it was his grandchild. But it was a big, you know, you see a chiluk between Rabashi and Rabbeinu Tam all the time in Shas.
Right.
Rashi's more Peshat, Rabbeinu Tam's Tosus.
Right.
It's like that extra push. Like we're learning about Beinoni, this extra push. I feel like Rabbeinu Tam is that extra push. And what I try and do every time I put Rabbeinu Tam on is not just say the Shema, because that's the minhag to say the Shema, but I also try and learn a little bit with them on.
Interesting. Wait a minute, I thought you put it on after, like by Ashrei.
Yeah, so after Ashrei, Uvul Etzion.
So when do you say Shema?
So I say again the Shema, like a separate new Shema, nothing to do with Shacharis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a new Shema with Rabbeinu Tam. Because the Indian is to have the Dalai Parshas. I don't say all four. I say just Shema, Vim Shema. I don't say all four, because I already said the two Parshas of Kaddish of Kuyach when I wore Rashi. I say that after I put Tefillin on every day.
So you say Shema, V'yahavta, and V'haya.
Yeah, V'yim Shema. And we might not finish off with the Sitzis one as well. I just finish say it anyway.
No, just for the fun of it.
Yeah, just to get the full Shlemus of the Shema. With Rabbeinu Tam. And then I try to learn something. So what my learning every day with Rabbeinu Tam is Shnayim Mekas Akastadim. That's what I do.
Right.
Everyone can do their own thing, but the point is just not just to put them on and off, and like, and just like try wear them a little bit.
Elevate them. and let them elevate you.
Yeah, do some avodah a little bit. Yeah, let them do their thing with you. They do have a lot of the similar halachas as Rashi, except you don't make a bracha on them.
Right, right.
You, the bracha you made on Rashi, you can have in mind that that was Kol the Benatam or any other Derek. And also, you the famous Chassidish Sipur is, I heard this from a Chassidim, that it's likely one time in your life you're going to make a bracha on your Benatam by accident, once you buy them. Just to give a little like push up for Rabbeinu Tam. And it's like a, you shouldn't really do it, like Abi Alacha, but it's going to happen one time. You're going to make a mistake one time, you're not thinking, you have a lack of das one day, and you're just going to take the wrong tefillin.
You're supposed to ask a Rav before, and you just take it, you just put it on yourself.
Rabbeinu Tam, I went and asked the Sadik, asked the Rav, asked Das Toru, and they told me, since I'm going on a Derech Chassidus, I asked Rav Mordechai Freelander. He's a big posting in the Chassidish world and Sofis as well. He's Square Chassid, a Talmud of Moshe Feinstein. He was a big person. He's not around anymore, unfortunately. But whoever your bonim are, ask them. I would ask a Rav first before doing it, honestly. But once you do, and get a good sofa. It doesn't have to be like 8,000 shekel pair. Like it's maybe like 5,000-6,000. Nowadays, everything's got up the Sofis. But
yeah,
I paid like 3.5 or something, which was a lot back then.
Yeah.
This then is the important principle.
He has a whole little shtickle here.
Oh yeah, so this is the long game.
Chapter 15, where we count the four types of Beinoni.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
15. Chapter 15, we have encountered four different types of Beinoni.
Yeah.
Who differ in the level of effort they serve Hashem.
To serve Hashem. Remember he said generate in the heart to energize divine service.
We have the box checker. The guy who just, he follows it because it's just his natural tendency to follow rules.
And then there's two levels. There's a palpable emotion in the heart. This is the way Shmuel Diamond says it, to engage divine service. Or an innate emotion in the heart to engage divine service. And that innate one.
Effortless one.
Yeah.
Then we have the static Beinoni, who did struggle, and then he reached a certain level, and now he's just chilled.
Yeah.
Second nature. Both of these, they do not serve Hashem.
Yeah,
they're Evan Hashem.
Yeah. Ovid Hashem.
Then we have the Beinoni who serves God.
Yeah.
Between incomplete and ideal levels of effort. The incomplete Beinoni does wrestle with his emotions, but he doesn't make enough effort to generate real feelings of Hashem. Relying too much on merely arousing the natural dormant love hidden from him. The ideal Beinoni, on the other hand, devotes a lot of effort to mindful meditation, aiming, developing
a real
strong emotional attachment to Creator. He may never fully saturate his heart feelings like a tzaddik, but he struggles.
It sounds like the
difference between a guy who's like, who needs to hear like a good Charlie Harari shir, and he feels, and then that's it. And then he lives from shir to shir to feel, that's just sometimes where I feel myself being. And then a guy who's like going out and like really
pushing, you know,
similar to like what a Gedalia Fencer was saying, like just do a spot to this every day.
Or a Moshe Weinberger with learning it deep, and like your Rosh Shlomo, like where you really get into the sugyas.
You got to do the Avaida.
It's not just some like, motivation shit. It's actual hard work.
You got to put in the effort, right? You can't just.
I remember one Rav said to me, like, you could, when I used to connect to Rosimai, he says, no problem. You can be connected to Rosimai, listen to the Shirim, be like on this adrenaline rush the whole time, living off his energy, his all.
Right.
And I did for years. And then suddenly he's like, well, now let me take away that light for a minute and now see what kind of sadik you are. Did anything change you? Yeah, that's the real thing. That's when you get tested. Now let's see.
Like a lot of people get stuck on that level of Beinoni where they're
living off the Rebbe's
living light. Off the Rebbe, living off a good shir, living off a good high, but they're not, you know. That's right. I could see myself getting stuck there too.
You know what the key to the game is? To have a wife who pushes you.
100%.
Because women, they don't like it when we're
just lazy. Well, the key is having a wife and listening to her.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes even harder.
It's hard.
My wife will tell me something and I'll just be like, oh.
So he says the long game in Shmuel Diamond's BnaiDashAliyah.com website.
Check him out. Like, subscribe, follow.
He doesn't care about that stuff.
He just, box,
he,
zip.
No, he's not interested. He's got panasa, doesn't he? He doesn't need your money. He just wants to share the Torah.
So then I could use it. Send it to me. Like, subscribe, follow.
I'll send you as
well. I take cash. Credit card.
Emotions are born of intellect. If you don't know about it, you will have no feelings towards it. This means the more consistently and the more deeply you think about something, the more profound will be the emotions generated. This kind of thing is referred to as boneness. This is what we've been talking about, as boneness. And it's by means of the average Jew is able to bring his inner emotional world more in line with Rotzon Hashem. So then this chapter 16 is Primary Avodah of the Beinoni. Through meditating on the Ganas Hashem, giving birth to genuine, palpable emotions in the heart, the Beinoni is able to rule over his animal nature. So I suppose it's going like the next shlav of really understanding what this Beinoni, he's Ovid Hashem. We're going off with the guy, the ideal guy, the Ovid Hashem.
In chapters 12 to 14, Tanya's offered a very detailed insight into the Beinoni to present the realistic religious ideal of every person.
Yeah, this is Chaim Miller's
translation. As a practical observance, the Beinoni is a great success, but he struggles to maintain steady emotional attachment to Hashem, to God. His feelings fluctuate between utter rapture when his prayers and meditations go well, to thoughts of selfish, animalistic behavior which may bother him much of his life. The Tanya reassures that all this is quite normal. When it comes to practical observance between man and God and man and his fellow, which is nothing less than total self-control. But the emotional ride is going to be a roller coaster, and we'll spend our lives conflicting, urge, longing. Solution proposed by Tanya.
Quite a rikus.
Store up as much love, reverence, as possible, make its deposits in our emotional bank account.
Yeah, bank account, that's a good one. I like that bank account, emotional bank account, because we do have to pay attention not just to our financial bank account, but also spiritual, emotional bank accounts. And that also includes our families. How much we're investing in our family around us. That's an important point. But I just want to say here, he says, Beinoni with limited mental talents. This is the next thing he brings here. Right. If they're able to generate genuine emotions due to limited intellect. Remember, this is probably our generation. Yeah. Just be real. We're so distracted. So the conviction that he should be serving Hashem with real love and fear counts. So having a conviction, that's important. If his service is engendered by his conviction, quasi-emotion, machshava tova, a kosh baruch hu who mistarif lamaisa, Hashem compares this otherwise to ethereal energy that naturally cannot raise the mitzvah to a higher world to the mitzvah and raise the mitzvah nevertheless. The mitzvah now rises to the world of Bria. With this intervention, the mitzvah would rise to the world of Yetzirah.
Right.
The point is, he's talking about elevation, but the point, how do you get to the elevation? For having conviction. Because it's hard to, where do our generation make up for the lack of moach?
Right.
Through Watson. That's why the breast, obviously, is so strong nowadays. Because developing will, developing conviction is something we can all do, even with all our distractions.
Right.
We can constantly, even when we're distracted, we can be wanting.
So it's a big thing, right? We can just always work on our Ratzon.
Yeah, that's why Ratzon is very important.
I forgot who said that, but I love that.
Sufim.
Ratzon.
Yeah.
Ratzon.
With the Ratzon.
I don't know who he heard that from. I think it was Shlomo said it, but I don't know who he was quoting.
Sounds like a Biederman kind of thing, but the idea of Ratzon.
I think it is, maybe.
Yeah. The idea of having that Ratzon, that's the key. I think I remember him mentioning it as well. You're right.
What?
It was Rosh Shlomo. He mentioned it.
I don't know who he mentioned in the name of.
It could also be a Bresov
Sefer. I don't know.
It could be Bresov also, because it's,
I don't know why I feel like it was Blabel Eger, but I don't know.
Could be. He's very much into Yasod. And your soul is also connected a lot to do with, you know, the Tzaddik is Ratzon. Zerka Godel Bevodas Hashem LeBeinoni. This is the important principle regarding divine service of Beinoni. Ikahula Moshe Sholet Aleteva Bachalal Smuli. The same thing is the governor of all the natures in the left part of the heart. That's the bottom line. Yeah, you're the boss. You're Sholet on yourself. Hashem, what does it mean you're the boss? Your Nefesh Elikis, your godly soul is the boss. It means the desire illuminates the divine soul abiding in the brain, the shalat alev, to rule the desires of the heart. Yeah, so that's really, once again, it's not you.
Right.
You're identifying yourself as the nefesh
elikis. Your struggle, your problem is your solution.
Yeah.
Like if you're not struggling,
he's breaking out now.
Huh?
He's been quoting it a bunch of times. He likes that.
Like your problem is your solution, like things like that, which is like, again, like if you're not struggling, then you're not growing.
Yeah.
Like that's not a good sign. Like if someone says, I don't really have much of Yetzirah anymore, and you're like, buddy, that's not SOS.
Yeah, danger zone.
Danger zone. You're just lifeless then. You're either depressed and you need to be medicated, or you are being medicated and you need to go off your medication.
So this shlita on the lave and the mind takes effort. That's what basically you're saying.
Yeah.
Struggle.
You got to struggle.
Right. It's bonin.
Struggle.
Because how are you going to do it? Kamish bonin.
Wait. Ayudei.
Yeah. Wait. Before we get Ayudei, he says it was bonin. Oh, that you're right. Yeah, that's the line before. Go on.
Ayudei. Or Hashem meir lenefesh.
He says, how do you do that? Eliminate the divine soul abiding in the brain. How is that going to happen? It's true. Your nefesh elikus is going to be the boss, and it's going to light up your heart and your mind.
Right.
But how? To be shalot on this lave. How? It's bonin, b'mocha, geloso, ein sof baruch. This is, once again, the Chabad Derech. and meditating in the greatness of Hashem and infinite light, and the holy binyasa ruach das v'yiras Hashem b'moicha.
The nefesh alikush of Mayach. Oh, so he holds the nefesh alikush is in the Mayach? I thought we
said the Mayach in the right side of the heart.
Right side of the heart.
Yeah, but it's also in the Mayach because it's chokhmah and bina. There's the chokhmah in the Mayach and bina, and bina is moshayach the lev. But either way, how do you describe how it works
how
out?
It works.
But the nefesh alikush
starts in the brain.
Yeah. And it goes, it influences on the right side of the heart, and through the right side of the heart, it overpowers the left side of the heart.
Right, interesting. Chabakuk.
That sort of inner wall.
I just love the sound of that word. Chabakuk.
Yeah.
We need a little bit of all of it.
Yeah, it's bone and memorial galas as a baruch.
Chabakuk. Okay, as we learned in chapters 12 and 13.
Yeah. That was the whole thing of the ear katana and the whole thing, the guf and the mechamas ha-yetzer within. The nefesh, elikus sholat. But the only way you're going to get the nefesh elikus to be sholat is the effort through esbonanus. Through that's the struggle to use your mechayach hamayach to put energy into thinking of the greatness of Hashem. Liosur mera the rice of the rabbanon. This shofar will cause him to turn away from the evil condemned by the Torah. I feel it is a kaw shel devarim chasashon. So by having this knowledge of fear yerushamayim,
you flew out of me a little bit. So what's the difference between his misbainin to be
his bonenus,
his bonenus,
yeah, on the greatness of
his bodidus,
bodidus speaking. It's really the nakuda, thinking or speaking.
Thinking or speaking.
So how do you miss bonin? You learn Sifrei Chassidus, usually. That's usually the way, methodology. And through the Sifrei Chassidus...
mindful meditation.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would be the modern day version, like, you know, like some guy sitting there thinking deeply into the greatness of Hashem. But look, how are you going to get to those thoughts? A lot of Hasidim would say through Sifrei Chassidim, learning Sfarim, to talk about the greatness of Hashem.
I think his bonin leads to his bonin, honestly.
So Hisbonidus is Rabbi Nachman's Nakuda or the other Siddiqim as well talk about it. It was Chaim. It wasn't only a Breslov thing, but the idea is
but within the context of Rabbi Nachman, again Breslov, Hisbonidus,
you have to actually say the words.
Would lead to Hisbonidus also.
Hopefully, if you're doing it right, if you're really thanking Hashem sincerely and meaning it, and working yourself.
But you were the one that told me that Rabbi Nachman one time went to the Baal Tanya Shir or vice versa.
Yeah, there was such a experience. Yeah, and he said he didn't get much out of it
except for one thing.
One thing that the soul. There's a concept in Tanya. It says that how do you have what's the lechem of the soul? How do you nourish the soul?
Right.
By Torah spirituality. So the nekuda that the. This how you have Rachmanas on your soul is through learning and nourishing your soul.
Right.
That Nakuda he got because
when you're doing when you're learning Torah, you're having Rachmanas on yourself almost.
Yeah, because you're feeding
that's
your
such
soul.
A breath of a Torah.
Yeah, so he liked that very much. So, but that was the only Nakuda he took out of the shir, and it was like a 10-hour shir or something.
I was trying to like look it up online. I was trying to, I couldn't find
what,
it.
What the meeting between Rabbi Nachman?
Yeah,
and
I was looking.
It's
where
Moshe Wolfson brings it down. You can find it probably by one of his English Svarim or something.
Yeah.
He talks about it. I've heard him say it. Like
they have like little things. I looked online like Rabbi Nachman meeting with Baal Tanya, and they have like. Things, but I couldn't. It wasn't like clear. It was like
yeah. So Moshe Wilson has a Masorah that he went to a shir and he wasn't misbal so much, but then there wasn't a kudah that he took out of it that he took with him. That was the kudah.
Just crazy. Show when you really think about it, how incredibly holy the soul of the Baal Shem Tov was.
Yeah.
The Baal Shem Tov encompassed all of that.
Yeah.
And then from him came. You know, it's like everything, and you're just like, how is this?
He was like the Keter, like the Panimus of all the Chassidus, of
and
everything.
Like from him came Chassidus that they all have their own little different shitas that can even seem sometimes opposite. And you're like, no, all this is the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov.
Because the most important Nakuda, which is why I connect mostly beyond Baal Tanya and Rabbi Nachman to Baal Shem Tov himself,
right.
Is because that if you go to the Shorash of Chassidus, it's all about the Yichud.
Right,
so it doesn't
matter
which way you get there, but you got to get there. You got to get to the unification of Hashem. The unification of Hashem, Hashem Achad, is the Tachlis.
Right.
And it's the same in Zohar Kodesh, what's going to bring Mashiach, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, and Hashem Achad. You know, but why did the Zohar Kodesh have that on his shul? Do you ever went in that old shul? And the Chabrach of Chana next to Rav Simai? I mean, where Rav Shammai used to be back in the old days, and it was on Aaron Kodesh, the Shammai Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And he big letters throughout the Aaron Kodesh. And because that was, he once said to me, he said he had a dream of Shem Bayachai came to him. He said, the way Mashiach is going to come is through Shema Yisrael, making sure everyone's in Am Yisrael saying Shema Yisrael, bringing the Yichud, unification. And that will happen either way, through Mizbonin, on the greatness of Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, or talking it out, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The whole point of Mizbonin is to get you to that Yichud of thanking Hashem, relationship with God, or thinking about the greatness of Hashem. Either way, you're getting to that Yichud. But the goal is the Yichud. Yeah. I mean, that's why personally, for me, the Baal Shem Tov is the key to the whole story, and to not lose sight of that. I mean, if you go to a Chabadnik, I remember saying by Chabadnik, I say, because we're the Derech of the Baal Shem Tov. Then you go to a Breslover, we're the Derech of the Baal Shem Tov.
Right.
And I'd be like, okay,
I'm going to make a choice here. And you're like,
I just Baal Shem Tov. Why do I have to? So we once
went. I really like this Chabakuk. Whole idea.
Yeah, Emuna Achas, Midach Achas, one principle.
Just kind of pulls Emuna. It all together because they all fit within each other in a perfect, you know.
They do. And I went to the, we went to Tom the Rebbe one time and we spoke in English to him, a whole chabur of us. And we said, what happened to the Torahs of the Baal Shem? Like, people don't quote it so much anymore. Like, it's all these Menhagim and Sugyas and Shas and like, become very like yeshivish, like the Hasidic world in that sense. So we were asking the Rebbe, like, what happened to the Torahs of the Baal Shem?
Right.
He said, he bought from Masorah that he has from Siddiqui himself that the Torahs of Baal Shem sort of went a bit into hiding with the Chassidim.
Wow.
So you don't really get the Derech of the Baal Shem Tov so alive amongst the Chassidim anymore, like as a Duggish. It's more like a sort of like practical path.
Right.
Of like, you know, trying to like keep alive the Masorah and Vechulu. But the Panimis of the Derech of Baal Shem Tov, you're going to have to, his point to us was it's not going to come from outside of you. You're going to have to go.
You're going to have to dig it in.
Yeah, you're going to have to do the hard work, which is what we're trying to do now by learning the Svarim, to try to find that the Kudu Panimius inside ourselves works to bring out the greatness of Hashem so that Nefesh Elikus is Sholet. Because in the end, what's the Nefesh Elikus? It's part of this Chelik Alekam Imam Mamish. It's a Chelik of godliness that we want to miyachid to the Yichud, to Hashem, that we want to miyachid ourselves to Hashem. But we're coming with our life, with our journey, with our Nisyonis, with our struggle. We're coming with everything. Mm-hmm. To Hashem, but not just coming like just some avoiding denial person of spirituality. We're trying to be our whole being and completely incorporate a whole nefesh and a whole journey, a whole tachlis of life into the Yichud. And this is the challenge of being able to identify yourself with your nefesh elikus and to bring that together with everything you do. So you don't feel like you're disconnecting from Hashem when you're trying mm-hmm. to serve Him in this world. And that's the real challenge of trying to bring everything into Avodas Hashem, your husband wife situations, your children's situations, your panas situation. That really dach deo, that was a big cloud of Baal Shem Tov to know Hashem in all your ways, in everything in life. So his bodiness are times of the day where you get this chizuk of nefesh elikus, so that you spiritualize all the other things. The problem is, if you don't nourish your soul, like the Baruch was so misspelled, if you're not nourishing your soul, how do you have the koach of moach? How do you have the koach of nefesh elikus to be sholeh?
Namash.
Of Hashem, beliba b'chala yamini. And the greatest goal will bring about a love of God, which reveals itself in the right part of the heart, which is the seat of the godly soul's emotional factors. Where's the intellectual ones? In the moach still. Chochma bin adas. But you have the das is what connects it into the Ava Hashem and the Yiras Hashem and the glory of Hashem and the victory and the Hachna and the Yisod and Kedushas Abris, and it brings it down all the way down to the Malchus. And that's the idea, bringing the Ava Hashem from the Mayach in through the Bisbonus in to be Noled. It gives birth to emotions of love for Hashem. But Hashaker faces Dafka Babakim amidst with the rice of the Rabbanon, Tamador Kenei Kulam. A long desire to cleave to him by fulfilling the precept of the Torah and the rabbis, Torah which requires him. So then you get inspired for Yiddishkeit. It's not like the whole story we had before, the guy just does it because it's part of his natural life. Yeah. This is where you've created an awakening for it.
Right. Interesting. I just want to read this part here. Just a Mizboni, Mamech, regardless, ain't safe, Baruch Hu. The Hoylid. Maybe Nasa Ruach Tasfi Yeras Hashem Amaychai. I was giving you a practical. You think about the godless of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu. I told you I one time had that crazy revelation.
Oh, so he was talking about it. You weren't there that day when the rabbi talked about psychedelics or Shlomo.
Oh yeah, what did he say? He's not very into it.
No,
he's not very into it.
He was saying because it's not his nakuda was it's not it's chokhmah without Bina and Kalim.
That's what it is.
It's just an awe. It's an awe, but you don't know how to put it into anything.
Right.
So whereas the Torah always gives you when you learn it properly, it gives you that. The proper shdalshalis, like from Chochmah to right. Bina to Das and to the Midas. This is what he's showing us this here.
Right.
But what and it, then it manifests in Torah Mitzvah. Right. It's not in some just feeling that goes.
So right. The idea that I have to that, and again, I'm not a proponent of it. I just know that like.
Well, it did something for you.
What it can do is it's almost like a shock.
To the system.
Because some people can just. Be in a place where they're just like
there's no other way of getting out of it.
I just don't feel anything.
Yeah.
I don't feel it. I don't believe in it. I don't feel it. It's all fake.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
a block.
You know, it's interesting. I feel like in Eretz Yisrael it's not such an Indian as much as it is in America.
Probably, yeah. I'd probably agree with
and
that.
And that thing just gives you like a shock. Like that's what happened to me. Like I was just not, I felt so blocked. Nothing was doing it for me. I had moments, like, you know, like we talked about the Beinu, I had the moments of like, and those moments were not as often, but it was like ultimately.
I'll tell you
like
what.
It's very interesting.
I'll tell you a deep eitzah in Shalom Bias that's helping me right now. If you, like you said it before, if you really listen to your wife,
yeah,
she will also help you get unblocked.
Yeah, for sure.
Not because she's giving you great ideas in Torah, like in a revealed sense.
Yeah.
She's giving you insights to deep emotions that men naturally just avoid.
Well, because right there, the women are from the
they have deep understanding.
They
about
have the Bina.
Bina Yaseira, and they have deep understanding. And if you listen to it,
right.
It's another way of getting very close to Hashem. You just have to right. learn to have the humility and the sensitivity and empathy and all that to really listen to what they're saying because they are in tune with Ratz and Hashem in that way.
Right.
Sono, they're made in Hashem's way. So
right.
it's just us allowing ourselves to like get that man energy that wants to just solutions and get onto the next thing, the pressure.
Right.
You know what someone said Shabbos that actually hit me hard? The son-in-law of Rosen. He's a South African dude. I don't know if you've met him.
Oh, yeah.
Melech. No. So he's like, a special yid. He's a convert as well.
Right.
Special yid. And he said to me, patience. You have to have the patience to listen.
Huh.
Yeah, it means you have to like not be in a rush to get to the next meeting or the next thing.
Right, right.
And that ability to just really listen to what they're saying. I'm saying this, I'm crap at it, honestly. But if I know when I've done it, I've grown so much from it.
Yeah.
It's just like you're saying, that you want that moment of high connection to Vakers. So imagine you could just do that in your daily life with your wife. You don't have to always run off somewhere. Your wife's right in front of you and she needs you to be focused on her. Now just see that as the greatest moment of connection to Hashem.
Hashem, yeah.
Switcheroo. It's not the running around with Rosenfeld and Gedalia in the middle of the night. It's with Morgenstern. The sitting with the wife and listening to her is the biggest level of the Vakas. If you can
much.
Really listen. And I'm just saying, obviously, it's a different form of Avodah Hashem, but it's a form. And it's learning
right.
how to do that. Like, this is where I think our generation would gain a lot from just learning how the biggest levels of ruchnius are sometimes in the most mundane,
simple places.
Yeah, like simple
children,
places. Children.
Yes.
Like to really tune
Mamash
into that.
Is the emet.
And I think our generation could be very good at that if we allow ourselves to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would actually solve a lot of our addictions and stuff because then we'd actually be living real quality relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our Yiddishkeit would then grow from that thousandfold because now when we're learning, we have our full bracha from our wife because we fully validated her. And now when we're doing our spiritual activities, we're fully validated and our children see how validating we are and they feel validated and then they have kark to go do their avoda.
Yeah,
and
it's a whole thing.
It's a whole positive push forward in everything. And it's
right.
it's so hard to do it because either Frum Yetz Torah makes you think that that's a waste of time. Then
right.
just drain your cup. Yeah, suddenly you have this drosha from this rav in your head, learning, davening, anything but sitting to listen to this woman, yeah?
Right.
But that's the Frum Yetz Torah. You have to say, shut up. I'm with this person. I'm going to be Miss Bonin on the Kadlis Hashem with this lady.
Ultimately, that's the goal, is to feel connected to Hashem. Yavas Hashem, believe it, b'chalal, b'yam, b'yam, b'yam.
Yamini,
b'chalal ha-yaman, ha-yamani. B'chashika, b'chashika,
yeah, the big cheshik.
B'chafetza, l'davkabai, right?
See how I'm trying to bring it into everyday.
Fervor and desire.
He goes off into mitzvahs and derais and derabonins. But you know, you also have a chiyuv of owner, of listening. How do you give owner to your wife? One of the ways is listening.
Just listening
deeply. You know, there's a chiyuv. You got kasuba. You contracted yourself to it.
Amash.
And it's something that's just like, I don't know. You don't have to be. The point is, what I'm trying to say is, take this concept of being a Benini and Davik to Hashem and bring it into real life.
This,
for me, that's real chassidus. That's the Baal Shem Tov's nekuda. He wanted us to bring the yichud into everything, even with a geshmak chabad shliach. This is a geshmak chabad shliach. I was out for bringing. His name's Rav Avson. You ever heard of him? He's one of the last rabbis that ever spoke to the Bavitcher Rebbe before he was nifter and yichidus. And what was his shlichus from the Rebbe? Go open up yeshiva to give smicha to boys struggling. Wow. That's what he does in Yiddishkeit. Give smicha. So the guy's having a real struggle in Yiddishkeit. They'll come out of his yeshiva with geschmack and with smicha.
Yeah, with smicha.
So they feel like they've accomplished something. It's very clever.
Unbelievable.
It's called the Rap. It's a famous yeshiva in
Yerushalayim.
The Rap. Yeah, because it's Rabbi Avson. So I always used to bring guys there. I used to love it. I used to go for bringing with the rabbi. He once said a geschmack comment, like one of his for bringings. About 20 guys sitting there and in some basement there, like Nachlor. And we're sitting there for bringing, and he goes, I went out today with my wife. This was the end of this. This is such a good point. And he said, I suddenly realized I have to sit in this meeting, in this waiting room for a few hours. The government misrad, not thing I had to take care of. And I looked at my wife and I said, finally, there's nothing else but to do but to be together this moment.
Wow.
So rather than spend the whole time getting agitated, I need to get to my next thing and la la la. I'm gonna now
do that. Yeah.
Now I'm with my wife for the next few hours. Fine, it's not the chosen place.
Right.
But since we're together, let's hop around and be dovik.
That's
yeah.
That's the hardest thing in our time.
And it has geschmack the point. That's a chassid.
You know.
Serving Hashem wherever.
All right.
Have a good day.